Hello everyone, welcome back to the Retro Break podcast. This is episode 40, and in today's episode I wanted to talk all about Final Fantasy. With Final Fantasy VII Rebirth just around the corner, I thought this would be a great time to take a look back at my own personal journey through the series, and it has been a very strange journey to get to where I am today. Very much looking forward to Rebirth. And as well as that, there's also a few other interesting topics that I want to bring up in the podcast, including some personal projects that I'm working on and some plans for my channel in March. So let's get started first of all with my journey through the Final Fantasy series. So I grew up in the UK and we never actually got any Final Fantasy games before Final Fantasy VII, but when that came out, I was actually a big Nintendo fan, so I pretty much exclusively played Nintendo consoles like the SNES and the N64 at that point, so I didn't have any way of playing a Final Fantasy game. The first time I ever really understood what Final Fantasy was in the official Nintendo magazines around the launch of the GameCube, when there was a rumour that Square would be once again working with Nintendo to bring Final Fantasy back to their systems. So the first Final Fantasy game that I ever played personally is quite a strange one. It was actually Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles on the GameCube. And I didn't actually buy it on day one. I actually rented it from Blockbuster just to find out what it was all about and to find out why people loved the Final Fantasy series so much. And I was majorly disappointed. I didn't have any friends to play it with, so I played it all on my own. I had the GBA to link up to the GameCube, but honestly, it really wasn't that fun. Like, the levels were all really narrow, just like little corridors that you walk down, and you couldn't really go that far ahead because you had to stay in range of this NPC that was carrying a torch. And I just found the whole thing to be kind of dull and boring, honestly, and I really didn't understand what the hype was. So I never ended up getting Crystal Chronicles for myself until a long time later, and I did eventually learn to love that game, but it didn't really leave a very good first impression. And then I went to college, and a lot of people in college were telling me I need to play Final Fantasy VII on the PS1 because it's one of the best games ever made, and I was still kind of reluctant to get into it because I still wasn't really a huge PlayStation fan. But around that time, I did get a PlayStation 2, and I remember specifically there was one week when I was really ill in bed, and my mum was in town, and she asked me if I wanted anything, and I asked her, as well as getting some cough medicine or whatever, or painkillers, to go into Game Station and try and find Final Fantasy X on the PlayStation 2, because it was part of the budget range and I knew it would only be a few quid. So she came home that night with Final Fantasy X, and I put it in the next morning when I was off sick, and I played it all day for like 10 hours without stopping. And I really, really enjoyed it. It was a completely different experience to what Crystal Chronicles was before that. And I could finally see why people loved the series so much. The music was fantastic. I loved the story at the time and all of the different characters that you meet. I loved the setting, the big futuristic city that you get to explore, and all of the cool battle system, and everything was just so exciting for me at the time. And I completed Final Fantasy X after a long week of being sick in bed, so kind of good and bad memories of that one. But it did actually make me think that I had been missing out on the Final Fantasy series up until that point. In fact, going back a few years before that, and sorry this is a little bit out of order, I've kind of just got my backloggery open with a list of all the games on. Before I played Final Fantasy X, there was one other game in the series that I played, and that was because I did my work experience in Game Station, which was an amazing game shop, and they did great deals on trade-ins and stuff. So that was right around the time when Final Fantasy III came out for the Nintendo DS. And I'd heard Final Fantasy was a good series, and this was like a 3D remake of one of the NES classics, and it was on a Nintendo console, so I was actually quite excited about the idea of getting it. So I traded in a whole bunch of Dreamcast games and N64 games at the time in order to get enough money to buy Final Fantasy III for the DS. So I took it home after work that day, put it in the DS. I was blown away, first of all, by the intro cutscene. I thought that intro cutscene was just incredible, the way it takes up both the screens, and it's got this really cool orchestral soundtrack playing, and it really got me pumped up to play the game. And I did play the game quite a lot, and I did enjoy it, although obviously being based on a NES game, it was very, very simple, and it probably didn't have the same kind of engrossing story as some of the more modern games in the series, but I really enjoyed it for what it was. I thought it was a great remake, and it took great advantage of the DS at the time as well, so I was very excited to play that. And that was actually my first proper experience with an RPG-style Final Fantasy, and I really loved it. And after that point, I actually kept up with all of the Final Fantasy releases on the DS, including the much improved Crystal Chronicles, including the much better Crystal Chronicles game for the DS as well. And also things like the Chocobo Dungeon game on there. There was a Final Fantasy IV remake as well, which was also really good. But the one that I was most excited about, and it's kind of a strange entry in the series, is Final Fantasy XII Revenant Wings. And that was actually probably my favourite game on the DS in the Final Fantasy series. Compared to the mainline games, it was actually an RTS game, and I'd never really got into RTS games much before that point, but there was just something about Revenant Wings that I really enjoyed. Whether it was the touchscreen controls for the DS and being able to move all the characters around in the battlefield, or whether it was just the really cool story and atmosphere of that game, I really enjoyed it, and I really think it's an overlooked entry in the series. And then I didn't really play many Final Fantasy games for a while after that. But like I said, back in college, everyone had been telling me that I needed to play Final Fantasy VII, so I didn't actually get round to it for a long time, not until I got a PlayStation 3 many years later. So I got the PlayStation 1 game, Final Fantasy VII, and I finally played it on the PlayStation 3 in second year of uni, I think, so probably 2011? I think, something around that time anyway, and I fell in love with it, and I could see why the game was held in such high regard. Even though I'd played it for the first time, like 15, 20 years after it had come out, and I didn't have any nostalgia for the game or the story or anything, I really enjoyed what I played. I loved finding out about all of the different environments and the characters, like Tifa, Sephiroth, and his backstory and everything like that. It was just such a cool experience, and I played it all the way through to the end. And then I went up to my local game shop at the time, which was called Shogun Games, or maybe it was Chips back then, I can't quite remember, but I went up there and I bought Final Fantasy VIII for the PlayStation 1, and a lot of you are going to be screaming at your... A lot of you are probably going to be screaming at me right now, but I still haven't played it. I've still got it on the shelf over there, along with Final Fantasy IX as well, and I haven't played either of those just yet, because for whatever reason, I feel like they are just a massive time commitment, and I know that if I felt like it, I could easily put them in and play it over like a month or something, but for whatever reason, I haven't been back and played the other PlayStation 1 games yet, although I do plan to at some point. And there were other Final Fantasy games that I played when they were new as well. So the Crystal Chronicles game on the Wii, Crystal Bearers, I think it's called. I got that one on day one, and I really enjoyed that. I love the graphics in that game. I really think they are just the best of the Wii-style RPG graphics. I just love the theme and the atmosphere. The combat system is a little bit weird, a lot of involving picking up things and throwing them at enemies, which is a little bit different to normal. I also got Final Fantasy XIII for the Xbox 360 just after that came out as well, and I did actually complete it, and I really didn't think it was as bad as a lot of people said it was. It was quite linear, but at the time, I didn't really think about that. I was just enjoying, again, the engrossing story. There was loads of weird concepts to try and get your head around in that game, so that took a while for me to figure out what the hell was actually going on, but apart from that, I loved the story. In the end, once I'd understood what was going on, and the graphics in that game were just incredible. Bear in mind that the 360 was the first HD console that I ever had, so coming from like the Wii and the GameCube to playing Final Fantasy XIII, it really felt like I was playing a proper like CG movie come to life. And the battle system in that game is really cool too. I love the way you can sort of swap between the different classes on the fly, and it's got a really cool atmosphere again. And like I said, the graphics in that game were just amazing. I haven't played 13, 2 or 3 though, so maybe I should try and play those at some point in the future. And around this time as well was when I was starting to get back into game collecting a bit more, so I went back and got some of the original Game Boy games like the Final Fantasy Legend series and Final Fantasy Adventure as well, and they have easily become some of my favourite games on the entire system. In fact, I never had Final Fantasy Legends 2. I actually got that one for Christmas last year, thanks to my girlfriend who bought it for me, and I was playing it all the way over Christmas and New Year, and I'm right near the end of it now, and I was actually really enjoying that. I know technically it's not a proper Final Fantasy game, and it's actually part of the Saga series, but from my point of view, it is a great game, and it's got the Final Fantasy name, so I still class it as part of the same series, really. And I was just really impressed overall with the quality of the releases on the original Game Boy. Like, if you like Zelda as well, Final Fantasy Adventure for the Game Boy is such an incredible game. Some of the best soundtrack in any Game Boy game as well in that one. It really is cool. And another one that I got around the time when I was in college from one of my local retro gaming shops, and this one is definitely not a good Final Fantasy game. This is one for the SNES called Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. And for some reason, this is the only one we actually got in the UK for the SNES, and it really is a very, very basic RPG. The soundtrack is probably the only thing that really stands out as good about this game. It's just incredibly basic. There's no difficulty to any of it. You can just basically mash the A button and get through all of the dungeons, and the puzzles are super simple. But I loved the music, and I loved having it complete in box to go on the shelf. I still don't own the other Final Fantasy games for the SNES, because like I said at the start, they never came out in the UK, so it was kind of the same deal with us with Chrono Trigger as well. So it's quite expensive and difficult to get the original Final Fantasy 2 and 3, I think they were called in America, for the SNES, but I have played them. I played the Game Boy Advance versions, and I really enjoyed them, especially Final Fantasy 2, which is 4, I think. I played that one on the GBA. I actually got that one at one of the London gaming markets, maybe around 2017 or something, and I remember putting that on and playing it all the way home on the train. So it's a good, like, 2-3 hour train journey to get back home from London, and I really enjoyed playing that, and I did actually go back and finish the game after I got home on the Game Boy Advance. So I would love to actually get the SNES version and do sort of a comparison between the two. And I actually enjoyed that one more so than the DS one that came after, because I think it's quite well known at this point, but the DS version of Final Fantasy IV is basically made for fans of the original, so they really increased the difficulty in that game. And I found it kind of difficult to get through, whereas the Game Boy Advance one was kind of nice and breezy and I could get through it no problem. Final Fantasy VI, on the other hand, I've tried to play that one several times, but I think I kind of have the same issue with trying to play Final Fantasy VIII and IX, and that is that I think it's going to be this massive time commitment. And I know that I should try and dedicate the time to play it, because I've heard from so many people that it's one of, if not the best game in the entire series, so I really need to rectify that at some point. I would really love to just take everything away from life for like 3 months and just play through Final Fantasy 6, 8, and 9 and just get them out of my system and understand what makes them all such great games. But maybe in the future. And then I guess let's skip forward a bit. I do have a lot more games on this list, but this podcast is probably going to go on forever unless I sort of wrap up this section. So let's skip forward to Final Fantasy VII Remake on the PlayStation 4. So I got this one on day one because at that point I knew that I would enjoy it, because I really loved the original when I played that about 10 years previously, and I was not disappointed. I mean, I was a little confused at how the story went, especially towards the end, and I was kind of surprised that they took so many changes to the core game, but I really loved exploring Midgar in so much more detail. And the graphics were just outstanding at the time as well for the PS4. I was playing it on the Pro and everything looked incredible. Apart from that one door in the slums, if you know, you know. But I think they fixed and patched that a little bit later on anyway. But it was so exciting to play that game and sort of see where Square Enix was going to take the series next. And the new engine that they'd used, I think it was Unreal 4, looked incredible. And the battle system was really fun. It was kind of a mix of real-time and turn-based combat, and I just thought it worked really well. So I really enjoyed that, and I've been waiting a long time to play Rebirth, which is out next week, so I'm very much looking forward to playing that. But there is one other game that I wanted to try and get done before Rebirth comes out, and that is Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core. So Crisis Core is a bit of a weird one. I did have it on the PSP back in the day, but I never really got into it. I always thought that the mission structure was kind of limiting, so I didn't really play it that much, even though I know that a lot of people say it has a great story. But when it came out on the PS4, I asked for it for Christmas that year, and for whatever reason, it's taken me 2 years since then to actually get round to playing it. But about 2 weeks ago now, I decided that I was finally going to put the time in to play through Crisis Core before Remake Part 2 comes out. And I have to say, the story in this game is just incredible. It's probably my favourite like Final Fantasy experience so far. I've just been absolutely loving it. I'm on chapter 8 at the minute, so I think I'm nearly done. But literally every single chapter is just blowing my mind with all these revelations about the background to all these characters that I enjoyed seeing in Final Fantasy 7. And it's just helping everything make so much more sense. And I also really love the combat system in this remake of Crisis Core. It's so fast. I love the materia merging system where you can kind of level up the materia and then you combine them together to make a new skill and then you can use that in the battles. And I actually ended up really enjoying the mission structure as well. I love that the missions are really basic, actually. I can just put a podcast on and play through the missions and I don't really need to focus on the game. I can listen to the podcast at the same time. And I've been really enjoying doing that. So I really hope that by the end of this week, I can finish Crisis Core and that will set me up really nicely to play Final Fantasy Remake Part 2, Rebirth. And I really can't wait for that. And something else really exciting about Rebirth was the fact that yesterday I was in Birmingham and there was actually a Final Fantasy convention on there called CoupoCon. I didn't actually manage to go to the convention though because we couldn't actually get tickets on the door, so we didn't manage to go inside, but there was something really cool outside that we could go and see, and that was a billboard for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and Cloud's Buster Sword was actually full of PlayStation 5 controllers, like real PlayStation 5 controllers. And there was a competition over on X or Twitter where you could actually retweet and win one of the controllers that was inside this billboard. I thought it was really cool. I was so glad that we got to see it, and it made me even more excited to play the game when it comes out very soon. There was something else really cool about the remake as well from a few months ago, back in November last year, I think, at MCM. I actually got an email from someone who works at Square Enix to ask if I wanted to play an extended version of the demo and actually record the footage onto an SD card. I never ended up doing anything with the footage because coming up to the end of last year, I was just so busy with other video projects, I didn't really do anything with it. But I was very, very happy and excited to be able to be invited by Square Enix to play the game early, and it was a really cool experience as well. I got to go to the back of this Final Fantasy themed double-decker bus. And they had a special VIP area at the back with a really nice leather sofa and the game set up on the screen and curtains that they could close. And they had a capture card thing and they basically just said, here you go, here's the entire demo. You can play both of the games. There's no time limit. Just enjoy it and have fun. So that was a really cool experience. And it's really cool that thanks to YouTube and doing this Retro Break stuff for so long, that I'm actually able to go to events like this. It was so cool. And I really hope that Final Fantasy and Square Enix allow me to do things like that again in the future. I would really, really appreciate that. So anyway, I guess for now that wraps up my journey with Final Fantasy. Hopefully you found that interesting. There is a lot more that I could go into, but maybe I'll save it for a future episode. And now for part two of the podcast, where I talk about some of the other games that I've been playing recently. So one very exciting game that I actually finished on stream the other day was Soul Blazer for the SNES. So this is Quintet's second game. I actually played all the way through ActRaiser a few months ago, and then this month I've managed to get all the way to the end of Soul Blazer. It was a really cool game. It's a very interesting concept. It's basically a top-down dungeon crawler, I guess, but as you find things in the dungeon, you rebuild the real world on the outside and you get all the NPCs coming back to life and you can interact with them and find out about their story and their history. And it was just such a unique concept for a game, and it played out really well too. So I'm definitely going to do a full video about that in the future, so look forward to my review on Soul Blazer coming at some point, maybe in March. We'll see how that goes. Another game that I've been playing is something that came over from Limited Run, and that is Dodonpachi. I can't remember the full name of it, but I really love those kind of shoot 'em ups, so I was very excited to get that. I was hoping by now that I would get another game from Limited Run, which is actually Trip World DX, but unfortunately, for whatever reason, they actually sent me the wrong game. They sent me Loom for the PC instead. So what they've done is they've let me keep that one because it was just a mistake and I got it accidentally, and they're also going to be sending me Trip World DX, which should be coming soon, and when it does, I'll try and play it over on Twitch as well. So definitely go and follow me on Twitch if you want to see me playing through Trip World DX whenever I manage to get my hands on that in the future. And now for part three of the podcast, some of the projects that I've been working on. So if you listened to last week's episode, episode 39 about Super Donuts, I'm still working hard on getting the PC version up to scratch. I've kind of changed some of the mechanics and the gameplay ideas in the game, so I'm probably making this a lot more difficult than it needs to be, but I'm really excited about the idea of people playing it again, and I want people to have a good experience, and I just wasn't really happy with the final game when it came out on mobile so many years ago, so I'm kind of changing it to make it a little bit more fun. Maybe I'll do a full video over on my main channel talking about how I've decided to go back to the game and remake it for 2024 and to be playable on PC and stuff. There is a lot that I want to try and do to get it right. And it is going to be free as well. I'm just going to make a HTML5 export and put it up on itch.io for people to play, because it never made any money when it was paid in the first place, and I'm not really interested in making money from games. I just want that to be a fun hobby slash side project kind of thing. So hope you're all looking forward to that. It's going to take a little bit longer than I was first anticipating, but I think the result will be worth it in the end. And as for content, I haven't really got that much written down to talk about today in terms of content. I've got two kind of content creation videos that I really enjoyed watching. So one of them was from a streamer called DugDug, and somehow YouTube just decided to recommend me this video on his second channel, which was him kind of talking about how to think about content creation. And I actually made a whole load of notes, and I'm actually going to be using some of that in the future. So let me just see what I've written down here, because I have got like a whole notebook full of stuff from that. So basically, he kind of said that if you want to make a good YouTube channel, make one that does grow and go on into the future without getting burnt out, you basically need to think of your two personal skills and then merge those together and keep making videos around that. So I was kind of thinking, like, what are my main skills? And I wrote a whole load of things down. It was kind of like a journaling exercise as well. So he was like, write down everything that you've ever enjoyed in life and then try and categorize them. So in the end, what I came up with was that I really like using my imagination to create things. And I kind of feel like that's why I enjoy video editing so much, because I can take something and then I can sort of craft it into something else. So I really enjoy video editing. And that's probably why I've been able to do YouTube for so long without burning out in the first place. I also really enjoy presenting, if you didn't guess. So that's definitely something that also means that the right idea for me to carry on doing is videos. And basically, I also enjoy information gathering and presenting that information in a clear and concise way. So in the end, I boiled it down to my two main skills, or things that I want to work on, are making meaningful and interesting projects. Let me see what I wrote down here. So skill number one is make meaningful and imaginative projects. And that could, for me, actually be anything. It could be the videos. It could be these podcasts. It could be the game that I'm working on. It could be the book that I'm writing, which, again, I'll share another update on the podcast for that in the future. It is still happening. I've kind of split it out into four or five different books now, so I'm getting a little bit carried away. But you can see that I just really enjoy building things like that, building like digital or virtual projects, I guess you could say. And the second skill here that I ended up writing down after sort of collecting all of my thoughts and, you know, having a bit of a think, was sharing interesting information in a charismatic and emotional way. And hopefully that comes across in the videos. I think it's especially relevant for the history videos, because I really love history in general and like understanding dates and the sort of thought process behind things in the past and stuff like that. And I've wrote a bunch more notes. Maybe I'll put them up on Patreon if anyone's interested in more of a behind-the-scenes look about how I'm planning on structuring content. So definitely check out Patreon if you want to see my sort of reactions to going through that podcast. I thought it was just really, really interesting. So I guess I'll leave it there for the content this week. If you're thinking about becoming a content creator as well, I definitely recommend you watching that or listening to it at least. So I'll put a link in the show notes, so you can go ahead and listen to that. So anyway, that was it for this week's podcast. Join me again in another 2 weeks' time, and I don't really know what the topic's going to be yet. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed having a listen to my Final Fantasy history and some of the other things that I've been getting up to over the past 2 weeks. Please subscribe here on wherever you're listening. Is it Spotify? Is it Apple Podcasts? Please leave a review if you enjoyed it as well. I think that really helps push the podcast to more people. Although, I'm not really too bothered about it growing, so it's up to you whether you want to leave a review or not. And as well as leaving a review, there is something else really cool that you can do, and that is leaving a voice message. And I got one the other day and I was very happy to hear that. So if you're listening on Spotify, there's actually a link in the description where you can send me a voice message. And maybe in the future, if people leave voice messages like questions or something, I can actually play them back in the episode itself, and you can kind of be a part of this community, because it is kind of weird in a way to have a podcast without another person on the other end to talk to. So let me know what you think about that anyway. Anyway, that's it for now. I'll see you all again in 2 weeks' time. Goodbye.